I want to briefly introduce to you our speaker for today, the second Sunday of our missions conference. We have Daniel Jovan here today with his wife, Chantel, and they're here to speak for us. We have a kind of a cool opportunity to hear a different perspective. Daniel is currently living in Ontario as a principal of a Christian school, but he grew up as a missionary kid in Haiti, and so he's not serving as a missionary overseas right now, but he's still neck deep involved in missions through his connections with EI and his childhood connections with Haiti and other things. So we're really glad to have Daniel and his wife Chantel here today. And if you want to know more about him, you got one of these half sheets. You can see his fuller bio here. And also for any of the youth that are here today, again, we just want you to know if you fill this out, you will get a reward for doing so. Nobody did it last week. There's a box of candy on my desk that's tempting me. So come and fill these out so I can give them to you instead of eating them myself. Yeah, so Daniel, we're just glad to have you today. Let's welcome him up.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It is a privilege to be with you this morning. I want to take a few minutes to, in appreciation of the church, putting a focus on missions and to hear this morning the work that is going on and the passion for Thailand and Taiwan. I wanted to just maybe confirm a few connections that I have with a few members of the church. The Taylors, who are here in their connection with Emmanuel International at Mississauga Christian Academy. Heather gave our keynote speakers for our graduates last summer in June. She did an excellent job challenging our students to think globally and what God would have them do as they're graduating and going into high school. So we were blessed to have her, and Mom and Daddy did an excellent job in raising Heather. She is... She was a blessing to us, and I just wanted to mention that. The Michaud family, Debbie Michaud, is holds the position of Director of Student Affairs at TBS, where I graduated from several years ago. And Debbie was a great encouragement, and the family, to Chantel and I and our family when we relocated to Toronto for me to take up studies at the seminary. So thank you, Debbie, and for encouraging us and being there throughout our time at TBS. And I know at Debbie you're doing excellent work at TBS. May God continue to encourage you to that. My wife is here, my friend, my life mate. We met at university in South Florida, and it's been 24 years. I usually look over just to make sure I get the years right. Our eldest son is in the warm tropical state of North Dakota. He's finishing up his fourth year. Our next eldest is worshiping at another church this morning, and our daughters are at a conference studying from the Book of Esther. So we are blessed that God has given us this opportunity to be with you here this morning. And when I began to think about denominations, my wife's family has background in Methodism, and there's so many different denominations, and I'm sure you've heard the story of this missionary who was heading to the mission field, and somehow he did not make it, so he was stranded on an island, and while he was there, he was able to find shelter, so he built three huts, and the first hut... he was rescued, and when he was rescued, the rescuer realized that there were three huts, and he was trying to explain what's going on, and he says, well, this first one is my home, and the second one is my church, and he didn't say anything about the third, so the rescuer asked him, he goes, well, what about the third hut? He goes, well, that's the church I used to attend. So we are blessed to be in an evangelical world where we have many options in terms of how God will use his people. Again, I'm from a Baptist heritage with my parents who first studied in England and then lived in Haiti. But in many other regards, God is using his people, evangelical, to raise and to teach and to instruct, and we are blessed to have that. If you would turn with me to your text, I would greatly appreciate it. So 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to focus primarily on verse 10 and 12, 10 and 11. Before doing, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be known by you, to be intimately known by you. We ask now in the next few minutes that as we open your word, that you would send help through the power of your Spirit to open our heart and mind to receive what you have for us. May we exalt Christ and Christ alone. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, the context of Peter is very interesting. We can begin by looking at salvation history. How did we get to Peter, an apostle? As we know in the Old Testament, as Scripture outlines for us, man fell. There was sin, and as a result of sin, God sent many examples of how he would rescue ultimately his people from the bondage of sin. So we are familiar with Abraham and Noah and the importance of Moses rescuing his people from bondage, Joshua and all the prophets who warned Israel against sin. And then in the New Testament, we have John the Baptist, the forerunner, and then Christ who came, died, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, resurrected, and is our Savior. And we now have Peter, who is an apostle of Christ, a middle-class fisherman, inspired by God, writing what we are reading in 1 Peter. And during this time, Peter and the believers of the way, the Christians, were being heavily persecuted. And as a result, AD 64, we had extreme persecution of the church. We may have heard the name Nero and how he was used different things politically to find reasons to persecute the church. So it is in that context that Peter is writing to believers. So persecution today, believers, as we can look around the world, is still very real. It is something, by God's grace, we are not experiencing in North America, which gives us the privilege and the opportunity to be praying and to be partnering with those who are, in fact, oftentimes in harm's way. But what we are going to be going through when we're looking at the text, it is the Word of God, the living Word of God. And Scripture reminds us over and over that when God has a plan, no one can come against it. So what we are seeing here is in the early church, Nero, followed by several others, attempted to quash what was this new religion. And we saw failure after failure after failure. But isn't it encouraging, church, this morning to know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel? May God be praised, for we are able to have assurance that our labor is not in vain, that God will give us the assurance that what we do for the kingdom is not in vain. He will bless, he will give unction, he will guide, he will show, he will teach. So first for us this morning, we will, in our text, we see that God has entrusted us with with his oracles. He has made us stewards of his grace. He is using you and I to promote this good news that he has for those who are lost. When we look in the Old Testament, we can begin to see how God designed, this whole idea of this infinite God has desired to, in the Old Testament, we'll see many episodes of this, that God tabernacled with his people. And then he asked Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 6 to build a temple. Not his father David, and there were reasons why not David, but he asked Solomon to build a temple. And that God is showing that he is willing to enter in, to come to a cursed world, live among us. And we could see there were certain barriers where the Holy of Holies, only the high priest, there were specific requirements in when the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. But God was willing to live among us. And we see, for example, God entrusted the Jews primarily to receive, copy, and preserve his oracle, his word, his good news, that he has not abandoned us even though we sin. Now, very interesting, if we go to the Old Testament, in Genesis, for example, we could see, based on the infinite perfection of God, his holiness, Genesis could have been one chapter. Just based on the sovereign wrath of God, he could have decided that this would have been the end. But what we saw is God sacrificing for the first time himself an animal to cover Adam and Eve. He is saying, I will cover you. I will be the one, and he was showing us it would be Christ who would be the one who would ultimately cover us all. So as we look through 1 Peter chapter 4, that section of verses 1 through 11, we are seeing that God is asking us in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves, by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So as we look through Israel in the Old Testament, what inevitably happened is Israel got complacent. We are the chosen people of God. And if you remember when they were going into the promised land, God was telling them, please, in essence, admonishing them, do not look to the left and do not look to the right. Because what would ultimately happen is once they entered the promised land and they would eat of the grapes from the vineyard they did not plant and enjoy the bounties of the land, they would soon forget their God. And God would remind them, for example, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, that God said that, I did not choose you, Israel, because you were the most precious of nations. He said, actually, you were fewer in number. That means small in number means you weren't a great nation. But I loved you, and because of my promise to your forefathers is why I have chosen you. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, we know this text well. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. So here we see a picture of God saying, yes, I have tabernacled with you. I have come and entered into your suffering. I am here. I am present. Yes, I am holy. And I want you to see how I want you to represent me to the rest of the world. Yes, Israel, you are to be a lighthouse. And yes, if you veer to the right, Israel, yes, chastisement comes first to the house of God. I do want you, Israel, to remember that you are my people and I am your God. So secondly, this morning, we could see that the oracles of God is living. As we read 8 and 9, that God is asking us through the inspiration in Peter here to the unbeliever, if you could imagine when they first come to know Christ, what that experience is like. They can't stop talking about the salvation that has come. Their heart of stone has been changed to a heart of flesh. They can now feel, they can now understand, they can now love this parent who never cared. They can now forgive this sister or this friend. They now can understand that without the saving grace of God, the condition they were in, and now they understand the condition of this person that is now not saved. Do you see that when God opens our eyes, we're able to experience living transformation of the Word of God that transform our lives. And as believers, Peter gives some admonition here. He says, above all, keep loving one another. This ongoing sanctification. Sometimes we don't feel like doing certain things, but he's saying, keep doing what God has asked us to do, because people will see that you have in you, you're living out the living Word of God. People will see in you that you are changed, you are transformed. So love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As such has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So here Peter, understanding under the oppression of the Greco-Roman world, we see him encouraging those who would be disappointed by persecution, saying, press on. You may not see it, you may not see the victory right away, but press on, knowing that God has a plan in the fact that he has called us to be his spokespeople, to speak on his behalf. Thirdly, we see that we embody the Word of God. As we read through Scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 21, it refers to that we are, and I'll begin in verse 18, 1 Peter. It shares, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience in the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Praise be to God. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So we see here this morning that God has entrusted you and I with his very word. As if that wasn't enough, in the Old Testament, he now says that word will indwell you. You will understand it more. Once you are saved through the precious blood of Christ, I will now indwell you with my Holy Spirit, so that every time you read the word, you can understand it more. I'll give you a personal example of this. I've been reading through John time and time again, and was reading through the story of the Good Samaritan, of the Samaritan woman in the early part of John. And this story, and we probably remember all the nuances of it, how is Jesus speaking to a woman, and the woman coming to at the well, the disciples going into the city, but this was orchestrated by God himself. And Jesus, in perfect humility and obedience, is going through Samaria. And this was appointed by God. So as he is there speaking to this woman, who the Bible does not give us her name. And it's very interesting. As you look in the Old Testament, over and over, it doesn't tell us the name. It says it was Uriah's wife. And it's really pointing to the sin of David. It was really pointing to the fact that he coveted and he sinned, and here is the path and here is the consequence of David's sin. So as we go to the New Testament, here in John chapter 3, we see this, in the early parts of John, we see the Samaritan woman again. I read this several times, but in praying through the power of the Spirit, beginning to understand that all the nuances of Samaritan stories or parables in the New Testament is a group of people that the Jews hated. They would not die for the Samaritans. If there was an organ donation plan in the early church, they would have not have volunteered to give a kidney to a Samaritan. So we see precisely that Jesus is saying, I have come for the distrodden. I have come for those who the social services will not provide, will not protect, will not look after. And Jesus is saying, I am here to die just for this Samaritan woman. And what did happen? She ran into her village, a person who was an outcast. They believed her. They began to be encouraged by her testimony. And they ran out. So a person who would not go to the well during the day to meet other women is now running into the village, has such a powerful testimony that everyone is shaken by it, and they run to meet the Savior she is describing. But again, we can miss this, and I have missed this, is that no one would dare want to come near a Samaritan. And Jesus is saying, I am here to die for the Samaritan. So this, again, when we think about what the image that God is sharing with us, that we are his oracle, we are his voice, we are his mouthpiece. He has indwelt us with his spirit. He has given us the mission of his, the Great Commission. He has given us pretty much, if you could imagine, the angels in heaven are baffled that Jesus would leave heaven in all his glory to come and die for humans. And that's what scripture reminds us, that they are baffled that this is the work of God, that he would send the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, always in perfect unity in the triunity, to come to earth to die for sinners. In closing this morning, I want to share three things. But before doing, I want to really segue into three things. So our three takeaways this morning is mission, time, and service. Mission, time, and service. But our segue will be the work of, as I was called to do this morning, is to share the work of Emmanuel International. So I will do that this morning. So I'll begin with what is before you, which is a familiar and known to Forward Baptist Church is Reverend Middleton and his wife Dorothy. And we know the Lord called him several years ago. His connections to Ethiopia, had the privilege of traveling to Ethiopia many years ago. And certainly God seared a burden on the Middletons' heart for what they saw overseas and what they saw in their own community about the work of God around the world. And I remember traveling to Ethiopia, South Korea, Hong Kong, and I remember being in Jakarta in Indonesia, a city of 30 million Muslim, very small Christian minority, and remembering being in the hotel room and looking at a sea of light and knowing and seeing the hustle and bustle of the city of Jakarta, and to know should the Lord return today, how much lostness is there in this city? And how God is asking us to not be like Jonah, who did not see the city of Nineveh, who does not see the city of Toronto, who does not see this the lostness that is around us. And this is what God is encouraging us to do through his word, is to see the lost as he sees them, leaving heaven to die for the Samaritans. So as we go through the work of EI, the practical, EI being an interdenominational evangelical organization that assists, and primarily this is done through the local church, and this is a significant part of the work. My involvement has been primarily through EI's work in Haiti. In 2010, there was a tremendous earthquake in Haiti. I was in my first year of seminary at Toronto Baptist Seminary. My parents were in Haiti. I did not know if they survived. I found word of their that they were okay through someone studying in the seminary in Jamaica. They called and let me know that my parents were okay. I was scheduled to teach Bible at 9 o'clock in the morning at Whitfield Christian Academy, and I was just not prepared to do that and be in class later on that day. So I was able to call the school and really spent the day trying to figure out what had happened to my parents. But by God's grace and blessing, EI and many churches in Ontario really came together, and they provided funds that helped in so many ways in the three phases of supplying the basic needs initially, and then for reconstruction projects throughout the years. But this is just an example that I quickly wanted to share about, in particular, about the mission and vision of Emmanuel International. As well, you will see in the subsequent slides, slide number two, shares a little bit about the mission and vision, transforming lives now into eternity as well. Then the next slide, you will see that the work of EI, in terms of it reaches into the communities, regardless of race, gender, color, and religion. A bulk of EI's work today in Malawi and other parts of the world is to support women and maternal health, which is significant when you consider how God has blessed us in North America and other parts of the world. Mums passing away at birth, or the mortality, infant mortality rate is fairly high. And the Canadian government and others have partnered with EI and a few others to provide maternal health. And next slide as well, you will see some of the partner nations, countries that are part of the work that EI does. And one of the things that I want to point out, and I'll share a few times, time and again, and as you go through the slides, is primarily you can pretty much, you know, as I shared earlier, the family of God is global. You can literally get on a plane and go to the UK, for example, land in Gatwick or Heathrow, and pick up the phone and call maybe an even EI representative, or, you know, Sue Fallon, and, you know, EI's office is in Chichester, southern part of England. She will pick you up at the airport, have tea or coffee with you, but just in terms of the local church connection, beyond just Emmanuel International and all the other organizations and the work that is going on around the world, you can literally get on a plane as a believer and travel to Brazil, travel to Malawi, and be immediately connected to the global church and the movement of God around the world. God is moving. God is active. He is, if we can use the word, in the business of saving lives. And I could even share stories with you. I remember my father was constructing one of the churches. They did everything they needed to do, but they just couldn't cover the roof of the church. So they had really one resource left, and that was to pray, which they've been praying all along. And this was during the Duvalier years of dictatorship. So he went to the post office, and they've been praying for weeks. They did everything right. They just couldn't afford the roof of the church. So he went to the post office just to see, hopefully, if maybe someone who remembered the work that they were doing would come, and maybe they would maybe find some good news. Nothing. They go in the post office box, look, and there's nothing. As he's leaving the post office, someone pulls up in a black Lincoln in Haiti. And they jumped out of the car and they said, "Are you Martinez Jovan?" And in French or Creole. And he said, because it was a dictatorship, he was very cautious to answer yes. But he ultimately did say, "Yes, I'm Martinez Jovan." And the man opened a briefcase and handed him an envelope and took away. He doesn't know the man. He doesn't know his name till this day. When he opened the envelope, it is exactly the amount that was needed to cover the roof of the church. So all he did was take that money to the contractor and the roof of the church. And I'm sure Forward has some of these testimonies in other churches and what God is doing around the world. God is building his church, and he is using you and I to do that. That is, in essence, we cannot fail. Yes, there will be trials, as our brother last week preached about the trials they faced with their son and their family and being in the mission field or serving God. It is not without a target. The fact that we are doing God's work, we carry a target. Is it not that the enemy sees us as working against him, but God sees us and he covers us and he says, "You are okay. I will cover you. It may not be easy, but what I have started, it will come to fruition. And what a tremendous blessing we have to know that God's work will prevail. I simply want to, just in conclusion, looking at the three takeaways, mission, time, and service. First, mission, the Great Commission. Every believer is on mission in our communities. My neighbor is my mission field. Been praying to meet, to have more connections with my neighbor. The more I pray, the more, especially in the winter where people don't have time to, God will, has coordinated that when I'm leaving my home, they're leaving their home. To begin a conversation and to ask and to follow up. And this is, again, God is on mission to save everyone around us in our community and in the world beyond. So he will give us opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission because he has indeed entrusted us with the Word of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we learn that he's asking us to embrace his Word. It says, as newborn babes desire this, the Word of God. So we need to desire the Word of God, to read the Word of God more and to pray because God will give us a desire. Maybe, and I have had these seasons in my life where my faith has waned, my desire has waned. And then what really reinvigorate my heart is my time alone with God in reading his Word. He reminds me of the truth of his Word, and he encourages me. And in my prayer life, I see that he is working. Second is time. Please don't waste your time that you have on this earth. God has given us kingdom duties, if we will. He has asked us, he has given us, in verse 7 in 1 Peter, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And again, the idea that God has given us something specific to do. So as an unbeliever or even as a believer, what we will find is sin will distract us. I remember times in my own life how sin has just distracted and wasted the time, the precious time, which is God's time. And sin, and I've often would say, especially to young adults, sin will take you farther than you are, farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Isn't that the nature of sin and the devil and our enemy? To erode what God has already made clear to us and how we're to use our time for his kingdom. So may God encourage us here this morning to realize that we, as a praying church, as a body of believers, as those who are serving him overseas, that our work is to understand that the time is short. There are multitudes of people around the world who have no idea who God is and worship a false god. And I want to really mention this because this has really stood out to me when I was in seminary. Praise be to God, we had great teachers at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And there's other schools as well, seminaries. But I remember just some of our seminary professors were getting up there in age, which is a blessing. That means they committed to serving God their entire lives. Could you imagine being close to your deathbed, having been in another religion, and possibly teaching that false religion to others for years, right? Leading many astray for years. And praise be to God, by his grace, he has rescued us from that, has given us light and insight, and has treasured us and has given us this mission. Third and final, service. God has provided and paved a way for us to serve him in our own communities, in our local cities, in our churches, and I'm sure pastors in this church will connect you to the work that's going on, and the work that is going in Taiwan and Thailand. God is busy. God is active. And one of the things that you will do when you travel overseas in 16 hours to South Korea and Jakarta and so forth, you realize somebody is up. You may be sleeping, but somewhere around the world, someone is up. And we think about God being always on this 24-hour clock. There are in his mind people out there that he values, he wants to save. And we, again, his word is telling us we are his message bearers. We are his mouthpiece. He's wanting to use us. Our salvation, you know, when we think about heaven, and I'll close with this, everything precious on earth, everything and every time we could say maybe, you know, this particular commodity, gold, or whatever we want to find as precious, when we look at Scripture, it tells us gold is on the floor, on the, you know, on the streets, are paved with gold. Whatever we value in heaven, it seems to have immediately lost its value. But what is the most precious thing in heaven? We can begin by saying, of course, the presence of our triune God, the angels, the saints, but it's really souls, people. This is the most precious commodity in heaven, if we want to think of it in those terms. And you know, that is what God is saying. I want to partner with you. I want you to see that I have, that time is limited, and I'm calling you, each and every one of you, to be part of the work of God around the world. So may God encourage us this morning to see not only the work of Emmanuel International, but all of the other agencies, our local church, our own home, as being a part of the mission field to reach out and to serve. And if God is calling you this morning, and again, in the mission field, I will strongly encourage, before going overseas, to be effective in your own community, to have a passion for the things that God is putting on your heart. And as God is leading you to go overseas, to ask for prayer and support in your local churches, and to consider, in some cases, as was shared even last week, it's on the frontier. It can be, in fact, very dangerous. But God has already established a lot of other opportunities to serve. And he is going to use you in every way. All you have to say is, Lord, here I am. Use me in every way. I understand the time. I understand sin and my habits and all of those things, the need, the desire to stay comfortable and remain comfortable. But you want to stretch me and push me at times to move beyond my comfort zone. Please use me. Teach me. Show me. Mold my heart, so that I see sin the way you see sin, and I desire to live a life that you would have me live. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for this tremendous privilege we have to be known by you. Father, you have made it clear to us in your word that it is no accident how you have weaved through the salvation history so many different things to show who you are and the level of love and grace and mercy. Yes, also wrath and righteous, holy, righteous anger against sin. But Father, you are perfectly balanced. So we ask that you would help us to see what you see, the lostness, and how when our Lord and Savior was on the earth, he had compassion. He saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. So, Father, may we begin to tap into your compassion, your heart, your desire to see the lost come to a saving faith. Father, we pray that you would save our kids at a young age, the kids in this church, young families in this church, that you would put a hedge around them, Father, that they would see the blessing that you have intended for them. May you groom these young boys and girls to be leaders at Forward Baptist Church and in the community and the world. May you continue to encourage the leadership of this church, Father, to continue to be a beacon and a lighthouse in this community that you have strategically placed them. Father, we thank you for the work that's going on in Taiwan and in Thailand as Martha and others will be traveling. Father, we pray that you would protect them and provide for their needs even before they ask. Father, help them to remain in prayer, in constant prayer, that you would open doors that we cannot even imagine. So, Father, for all the work going on in various agencies and EI in this particular case, that you would continue to encourage its leaders, Richard and many others who serve diligently. Father, may you continue to encourage them. May you continue to give them a vision for how you want to serve your people in all the local churches. Father, may they not err. May they not move to the left or to the right. May they stay very simply focused on your gospel and on your message. And Father, may we serve not only by preaching the word, but in practical ways as well. Father, we pray that you would bless Forward. You would bless those that come into contact with them. And Father, as we depart here this morning, help the words that you encouraged, anointed Peter to pen, and that is, you have called us to be your mouthpiece, resonate with our hearts.